The Survivor Specialist Phil and Blake are back, and today we are discussing the best Survivor twists that should be in the open era. I know that this is happening in the time slot that everybody was expecting Winter Rankings Part 2. That's happening on Wednesday, okay? The U.S. game kind of messed everything up, and Will, myself, and Blake.
Honestly, it's a good thing we skipped it, because what a match,
dude. I know. I'm glad Will was like, we can't be podcasting the same night as the U.S. playing Belgium. That's just electric. Yeah, that was electric, all right. Anyway, I'm sure if he was at a bar, if anybody was at a bar watching that game, you're certainly too drunk to come to this podcast. But here we are. We're going to talk about the twist that we would like to see in the open era. And I did get some, we put this out on Instagram, so we have some comments and stuff over there that we will get to and we will discuss. But I'm really excited to dive into this. I know Will and I touched on it a little bit when we were doing our post-season 50 discussion and what we want the new era to look like. As you can see from the thumbnail, if you're looking at this on YouTube, I have the ranking thing from Gabon. I have Jonathan and Wanda standing all by themselves. We're going to get into all of this, and I'm really excited because it feels like this is the first time people have been even remotely excited about Survivor seasons, even though I do have a lot of comments in here that are, I don't care anymore. So that's always fun when that happens, and I understand that. I'm not going to knock those people, but it's just that. But I do feel like people are a little bit more excited with this open era thing and the admission that we're moving away from just the same redundant season over and over and over again. So, Blake, welcome. What's up?
Hello. I was thinking out loud of, like, this is basically, if Twist were contestants, which one of them would be on an all-star season?
Mm.
And I don't know if this should just be called All-Star Twist, because I think there is some that you're going to be surprised that I would say out loud, but it is like, once again, it's like nuance, not just for the audience, but nuance of how Jeff Probst and friends could implement these. Of like, yeah, hey, maybe a Blood Moon wouldn't be so bad if it had this two things leading up to it. I don't know if we'll do Blood Moon. I think we'll go as we go. It's not like I wrote everything down, because I have a few where I'm like, okay, for sure I want this. But I think it is something where, oh, some of these failed twists in the past, it's because you did it at the wrong number, maybe, or if this is a pre-merge thing, it's a lot cooler than a post-merge thing of two tribes are split up from our merge. It's like, no, do these with the tribes that are warring with each other. Five Blood Moons in a row and go home. And 14-day season, Parvati wins.
So, we need Will to show. That might be the Will call. He might appear on this podcast after seeing that.
Yeah, the Medallion of Power could come into play just for the final three juries phase.
Yeah. Here's what. So I'm going to go through some of these that we have
it
here.
It sounds like we're joking, but we are going to take this seriously.
Oh, no, we are. What we have here from Gam Chill, G-Ham Chill. This is over on Instagram. Stop getting rid of people's votes. Did you see, Blake, what your favorite player of all time said? I think it was through Dalton Ross or EW or something. Did you see this?
No. What did Joe say?
So John Cochran said that he is sick and tired of people losing their votes and that Jeff needs to stop doing that. And I know, like, look, I like Cochran. Blake is the biggest Cochran hater, but look, we all know that Jeff listens to his buddies. Mike White tells him something is stupid and Jeff's like, well, I guess that's stupid. And so part of me is like, is Cochran standing up for the show that we want to see, the man who was a reward in Survivor Game Changers? Is that enough to make us happy and get rid of votes? I know that's not a saying what twist do we want to see, but I think there's also the discussion of what twist do we not want to see. And I think losing votes is the stupidest thing that Survivor does consistently. Obviously, the Hourglass is in there. That's all time dumb. Blood Moon is dumb. But those are twists that have happened once or twice or whatever. This is something that happens consistently season after season. It's idiotic. It makes it too random. There's no agency. And with Cochran speaking up about it, I actually do have some hope that Jeff might listen, because Jeff respects Cochran. And unfortunately, based on what he has said about some of the fans during 50, I don't know if he respects our opinions nearly as much as Cochran's opinion. So that's just my take on that. So I'm happy Cochran said something, and I hope it sticks.
Yeah, I love Cochran. It's so funny. It's like you start off thinking that you're going to do a podcast, and now we're talking about Cochran for a while. But Let's go ahead and get into it. Like, what would you say?
Kevin O'Donnell says no cool moments have come from lost votes. I think,
and Kevin O'Donnell's always right. I think one thing too is like whenever you're looking at the new, like, this is the cast of 51 on Spoiled on Redman. This is the cast of 52. You're like, which one of these poor souls got eliminated last because they don't have a vote, and like we're looking at the wrong banana leaf and the rice came pelting down and they're like, oh, I want to vote, but I don't have one, and I can't even use my shot in the dark. I guess I'll just go home first. My whole 10 years of trying to get on the show is pointless. You're like, okay, yes, let's go no on losing votes. Let's do that.
Yeah, no on losing votes. And that's a popular opinion. I mean, it wasn't just G-Ham Chill who said that in here. There's a lot of people who feel that way and don't want it. I also love this comment from Brennan P. What even is different about the open air? I thought they already could put any twist in they wanted. That's what we all thought. But hey, we don't know what we're talking about. I'll go with this one from This Is Toe. This is Tori from over at Survivor Now. She said, I just think themes need to return and less chance, no hourglass, dice roll, etc. So many people, it was funny because we put this out and said, what do you want to see? Or I think at least that's what McKenna asked. And pretty much a lot of people were saying what they don't want to see. James Morris, anything but the hourglass. Atrios, none, keep them locked away in the new era. Like, it's just like people are definitely a little bit more down on it, and it's what they don't want to see. But I think there's some good stuff in here too about what they do want to see. So Blake, what would be your number one thing we're not doing this in any type of order, but like, what comes to your mind first? Because I have one that comes to mind first, and I could go first on this if you would like.
I think the one thing that I am legitimately thinking about is, whenever they split into a final, whenever they go from two down to three tribes to make it where there's only six on each, like if they go from 21 to two tribes at 20 and now three tribes at 18 or three tribes at 15, that three tribe thing, do a one world beach. And then it's like, oh, it's almost like a merge. Anybody can talk to anyone. Anybody can screw up anything. Are you going to turn your back on your old allies and talk to the new people that can actually vote you out? Or are you going to be like, no, I'm going to talk with my old people, use my idol to get through the next round. I don't care about these new people. We're planning for the merge already. I think that would be a crazy dynamic of there's 15 people that can go all over this huge ass Solana beach or whatever it's called. And then, but like two of these tribes are going to tribal, or maybe all three, like this is the blood moon at final 15, all three tribes of five are going, but it is kind of like we have some Lex and Rob type stuff of like, no, keep this person safe. I'll work with you in this next round. Anything can happen. Like we saw Jonathan walk over and have a lot of power. That was one person doing that, but I think we could kind of multiply this by 5 to 10 if we have a tribe maybe immune in the middle and can walk around to all these.
Let me ask you this though, because this is why we don't see these things. How do you do one world? Because one world is definitely something I want to see back. And I hear what you're saying with this version of one world. How do you do one world without confusing the audience? Because we've talked about, I know Once Upon an Island has this idea and we've talked about it a lot, where you're doing
I'm doing the fan thing. You keep talking.
No, I'm disrespectful to Phil. Your tantrum.
This isn't disrespectful to Phil. It's disrespectful to this question. Is what I'm.
But it's how do you keep it so that it's not confusing? Because that is the reason. And Once Upon an Island has said, if you did a blood versus water as a one world, I think that's a fantastic idea, and I think that's the best idea going right now. And I think that should absolutely be a season. But that is why they started that season as men versus women, and that is why one world eventually went away, because when they swapped the tribes, they didn't trust that the audience could keep track of who was on which tribe anymore. So how do you do it where you're not confusing the audience? Because I absolutely think not having one world is a really dumb situation that the show has moved away from. The fact that we have seen Redemption Island three times, the fact that we have seen Edge of Extinction twice, and the fact that we've only seen One World once, and yes, One World is a terrible season, cast a better cast. It has nothing to do with the twist. The cast is atrocious. Do a better cast, which in the new era, you're hit or miss, let's be real, but you can do One World. How do you make it so the audience isn't confused?
All right, I had the answer for that. It's episode 6. So we've already talked to them. We've already We've done 5 weeks of pre-show. You're another 5 weeks, and this is your 10th or 11th week, and you have all these stories, and you can go, you can say, oh yeah, these are the people that just got merged or whatever. Like, oh, crazy that they're on that one. Or literally it'd be like, and now that we're done with this challenge where you guys, I also more social challenges, but that's a hang on to this. It's like, now that you guys are all done with your challenge, this is the beach you're sleeping on. Build 15 places to sleep. Like, the thought process of why I preambled what I preambled or preset what I preset is 6 weeks in to a viewing experience, you should know these people already. I'm not trying to do one world on episode two to mess with, like, I don't get it. Like, why have the initial tribes if you're going to switch it on tribe two, day two, but switch it in that 12th day or whatever. And it's like, yes, we have, it's halfway through the game. We have these crazy relationships already, and now we're putting them to a test.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think that's fair. And also, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, you were just talking about the preamble, so I thought that's where you wanted this conversation to go right now. I do feel, if anybody doesn't know the entire preamble, there's a song that was played to me in like fifth grade, and it has just been burned into my brain forever. I know it word for word. But anyway, I hear what you're saying. And I think that that's what the show needs to do. I think the show needs to take more risks and take more chances and just trust the audience a little bit more. And I don't mean trust the audience entirely. Again, I don't think that an audience should be voting for who should be on the season or voting for like twists and stuff. I don't think last season they really voted for all that much, but I think like you need to trust your audience a little bit and understand that they can follow narratives. We don't live in a world anymore where everything that is on TV is like a very simple three camera sitcom. You know, we're not in the Friends, Seinfeld, Twin Peaks is the only show with a storyline on TV anymore. We live in an era where people are watching House of the Dragon and it's like that guy's been in three episodes. And I somehow know that his character is important to what's going on, even though I don't even remember what the first thing he was in. People can follow things a little bit more now. People follow more complex narratives in a lot of their TV shows. So I do think that is something that you can get away with and that you can do. Thank you here, Kevin O'Donnell, Schoolhouse Rock shout out from Phil. I don't even think I realized it was from Schoolhouse Rock, but it definitely is. It's like, and we called it the preamble and they just start singing. So, all right, let's move off of One World, because we're in agreement that One World should come back. We are. Yes.
That was a long way to get to good idea,
Blake. I mean, I'm not saying your idea was good. I'm just saying One World we both agree with. No, I think you're trying to change the twist of One World. You're trying to critique it and say this is where you can
I'm
go.
I'm trying to nuance, bring it back so it's not a flop this time. Because if I said bring back One World from the very beginning, people would go, well, that was ass. Why do you think it'd be better now?
I want that. Because again, I think it's just a bad cast. I think the cast is, if you think about it, we talked about this when we did Every Season Matters. First four episodes of One World are great. It's everything that comes after that. Because the men and women going at it, and the women, I want to come under your shelter, and Colton's going to the other side. It's great. It's after they decide to do the swap that the entire season falls apart.
All right. What's your first one?
Wow. Okay. Blake's out. Okay. So this is easy. And this is a big all encompassing, and this is not going to surprise anybody, but this is big. It's all encompassing, but I'm taking it all. I want creative ways to choose tribes, whether that's at the start of the game, whether that's at a tribe swap, I don't care. We have in the thumbnail them being ranked in Survivor Gabon. That is the greatest way they have ever done the tribe swap ever. Bob is ranked third on his tribe, but because he's an old skeleton, nobody wants to pick him. And then we have Kenny picking somebody purposefully weak so that he will be able to have some sort of numbers. People were able to game those types of games. And that, to me, is the best iteration of this. But I think that we should see people choosing their tribes. Or we should see people going and standing on discs or doing what they do in Africa when it's 6-6 and they do three going one way and three going the other. There are so many creative ways that they have done throughout history. Vanuatu, I'll pick, you choose. That's a great one. Where Sarge and Scout get to pick the tribes for everybody. I hate that all it is nowadays is draw this rock. We're going to pick up buffs. I don't care how good they can tie their little bows on the little pieces of paper that go around the buffs. It's so redundant and it's so boring. And we're getting schoolyard picks that we're not even watching the schoolyard picks for, like, these rewards and immunities. It's a part of the game that we're rushing through, when in reality, it's a part of the game that allows for so much creativity from the game players. It allows for so much creativity from the production standpoint. It's a total miss that they do not do this stuff more nowadays. So I want, anyway, I want the next season. I know there's been a lot of rumors, 21 people. We think that they might choose tribes, whatever. I want tribes being picked from the start at least once during the open era. And I want pretty much everybody having a chance, or every season having some different version of how tribe swaps are taking place.
I like this because I do think the more chaotic seasons, like, you can't choose your own thing if it's based on women and men or whatever, but like Thailand was a choose your own from the beginning. Palau was choose your own from the beginning. Those are kind of the most lopsided of all time for a reason. Gabon's choose from the beginning. Are you getting it yet? It's so lopsided. And I think when you're in a bad version of that, you are like, how did the producers not purposely choose? But like, I don't know if it's just how it happens. Whenever you don't have a flint, you can turn into a disaster tribe or whatever. Or are they purposely casting for a disaster tribe? I would assume that most of the 18 to 22 people that play Survivor would not set up a disaster tribe, because it would be them on the disaster tribe. So you would think that these people would pick certain things, and it would be interesting of like, here's what they picked in 2006 on Survivor. But now that we have a meta, now that we have 25 years of knowledge, now that we have 25 years of what is good, what is bad, how would that change? Of like, no, I'm going to pick based on, you said you were a doctor. I want to make sure if I fall and twist my ankle, somebody's there to help me. Or, oh, you mentioned you're from Ohio. Bro, I hate people from Ohio. Bye. Like, there's just stuff like that that I think would be funny and more interesting than like, this is the red tribe, come on in. And this is the yellow tribe, come on in. Like, it's already, that there's some pre-production stuff that I think would be interesting to see on the actual beach and have that be the first 5 minutes of your show. Instead of like, I was looking over, like, even whatchamacallit, Token Sheens is in my head of like, these are two clearly different tribes because they're wearing different colors. Everybody's wearing different colors, but red and black seem like this is very different. And so like, it's something where what went in our heads describing like the Token Sheens cast, like why were people put on Timbira? And if there was a executive producer that wasn't Jeff, or if Jeff said we put people on Timbira because they valued hard work and strength, but Jalapau is more like effervescent and carefree, what would be better? It doesn't have to be a theme. It could just be like, this is how we broke up the cast. Cause like, I think some people that are already pissed about 52 are being like, oh, it's just a lot of 25 to 35 year old people that have white collar jobs. And if it was like, this is a soft theme of, these are the people that take things too seriously in their life. These are the people that don't take it seriously enough. And here's the baby bear or some shit. And it's like, Survivor baby bear. Like, I know we're going I think there could be some of this where you're either tell us what you're doing if you're going to pick it yourselves, or having people be more in charge of initial tribes and tribe swaps. Tribe swaps for sure, because tribe swaps, you'll have more information 12 days in. But OG stuff, I think it is something where if the producers are picking, like, why was Caleb put with Brandon Donlin, put with Emily Flippin, put with Sean, put with Sabaya, and then put with that girl that I can't remember her name?
Hannah.
Those seem like five and a half of the worst six people on this season. Like, what is going on?
What is going on? I mean, you had so many good points there. All of a sudden, we're talking about a baby bear. What the hell?
It was just, we were doing this. It's because
Max Koop had you feeling yourself saying Blake on his A game tonight. That was before baby bear or whatever the hell we got to there. Yeah, and I see Patrick Stahl saying, honestly, people probably don't want to do a schoolyard pick'em today. It's pretty cringe. No, it's
like, I like cringe sometimes. Yeah, cringe. And cringe is better when it's happening from their players instead of Jeff going, you guys want to sing for some Pinocchio's pizza? No.
Yeah. Fried chicken and waffles. Fried chicken and waffles. Yeah, okay, dude. All right, let's talk about some of these over here before we get to our next ones here. We have Sea Bear Attack. I mean, Blake, did you see that Sea Bear Attack? Is that the baby bear? Says pre-merge Redemption Island. Is that something you would entertain? Would you entertain a pre-merge only Redemption
Island? I mean, the worst part about Redemption Island was somebody coming back in Final Five, because that felt so unfair. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever felt bad about a Edge of Extinction or a Redemption Island person coming back at merge. I think those are more interesting to me because there is still a long road for you to get to the end. Everyone's aware of what you're doing. And by at that point, it is like our extra challenge per episode. We don't need it to be a Redemption Island one. We could have it be a reward challenge for our dwindling cast.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying there. And I think that's why people are still so positive about Pearl Islands. People like Blood versus Water, but I think that's why Pearl Islands is still one that people get behind, because once like Nicole and Sean and Austin and Skinny Ryan are out, they're out. Like, that's it. They're out. And we don't have to watch them come back in. They ought a chance. I think if you were to tell people Blood versus Water is coming in, like you, or not Blood versus Water, I'm sorry, Redemption Island coming in, you knew that that was a twist. I think, and you said it's only good for the pre-merge, though. If you're a pre-merge boot, you'll have one chance to get back in the game. That's fine. St. Clippo says people didn't like the Outcast Twisted Pearl Islands. That's because it wasn't notified to anybody. The players didn't know. The cat or the fans didn't know. That's a problem. And so I do think that if you're going to do something like Redemption Island, you can get away with it. You just have to do it, and you have to let people know, and it should only be for the pre-merge. So I can get behind that in the pre-merge, but I do not want a season at all with Edge of Extinction or Redemption Island in this open era. The player, I don't need to see more of these players. I don't want it. They do not need that at all. We do not need a full season of either of those twists.
Okay, my turn again. Ready?
Go ahead.
I think I would like them to overhaul how idols are done by going back to what has worked of we're hiding idols at challenges. We're hiding idols in plain sight. The stuff of China of it's above you on the veranda, the stuff of Philippines of it's on type of the rice thing. The like, maybe it's in a very obvious spot, not at tribal, because we don't want to reward people for going to tribal. Like, that should be a bad thing. But like, stuff that's in here's our challenge. Jeff could even do like, Jeff could say something weird of you guys have like 5 minutes to walk around and check the challenge or whatever. And it's like, oh, is this real? Film that and be like, somebody that you don't know maybe has a clue here. Like, we don't. I think that's something that they could play around with 30 years into Survivor, because it's getting close, or 26 years. It's like, oh, somebody already has a clue. We don't know who it is because we didn't walk through them to find the clue. And then pay attention to this next challenge, guys, because somebody's going to grab an idol. And then it would be like, could you spot that person? Do you think you're actually this good at Survivor? Yes, we gave you a fixed camera angle, but which one of these people found the idol? We'll tell you after we get back from commercial. It's like, oh, okay. That would be an interesting thing that night. And that would be a, did you find it or not? That would be an easy yes or no for you. And I feel like that kind of stuff of not familiarity with idols, but like, we don't want people to be like, it's at the biggest tree near the well where there's cameramen.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's where they are now. And that's where I think some of the people that were on 50 were frustrated. They're like, how am I not finding idols? Because usually they're at the biggest tree, but that looks the weirdest by the water well with cameramen. And I've looked at all those and they're not there. And I think that would be something of like, oh, there's a symbol above your flag. Like, remember what season was it where there was like, it was Shaheen's season where it's 48. Oh my God.
But yeah, they had like their symbols.
There's a dolphin. There's a frog. Here's a thing. Like, that could be a red herring in some camps. Because like, I think I like the thought process of if China happens again and Todd's like, here's where the idol is. it's different at the other tribe or whatever. And like, whenever we're doing open era and it can be anything, I think it is more interesting if you're like, well, on red tribe, it has China idol rules, and at yellow tribe, it has 48 rules. Mm. And like, oh, that seems so hard for people to pay attention at home. All of us listen to podcasts. All of us go look for
it's
more.
A lot easier to follow than half the shit they're telling us.
And Jeff wants to do more articles. Jeff wants to go to more for your consideration things where it's like, we're pushing not only our players to the brink, we're pushing our audience to the brink and making sure if you're not like, you can't miss an episode this season or you're going to be behind. Like, I think there's something about that where whenever I'm watching dense TV shows, and I'm going to say some dumb stuff, like it's just drama shows that come on Sunday nights on HBO. Like, they're not dense, but they are like, if you missed an episode and you show up two episodes later, you're not going to keep watching. You're going to go, holy shit, I missed one. I got to go back. And I think Survivor hasn't been like that in years of like, we're going to literally tell you what you missed and it's going to be on the bottom. Cause like, if you did go, how does Tiffany have an idol now? It's like, okay. You need to go back and watch that because it was very interesting.
I also, so what I don't understand, and I just watched the episode of Game Changers as we prep for our Game Changers Every Season Matters. Blake, hope you're into that. I just watched the episode where Troyzan gets his idol at the challenge. I just don't understand why they stopped doing that. Like, I don't understand why the Kelly Wentworth one is awesome. The Troyzan
literally do it until someone gets caught and called out and voted off.
How have we
never
seen
that? Is when you can stop doing that.
And that happened in Australian Survivor where somebody went for it and she got called out by the entire tribe. And the entire tribe was like, we know you have that. And I think though, like, that is probably the most interesting thing Troyzan does on that season. And that's fine. Like, it happens in the pre-merge. His storyline dies out at the merge. But at the same time, it's like, that is an awesome moment when Troyzan is trying to figure out, he's not on the puzzle, how am I going to go to the back and grab this and see it and not have anybody in my tribe find or catch me? Kelly Wentworth, same thing. It automatically creates a heightened sense. Your blood pressure goes up even if you know the result. You know, as an audience member, the second time you watch a season, what happens. I'm watching Troyzan do that. I'm like, oh man, how does he do this? How does he do this? How does he... It's awesome, and it's a great way to get some drama out of the middle of your episode without without having to do a tribal council, without having to do something cheap. So I think that needs to be – I agree with you. There needs to be some modifications. We also have some people who were saying stuff about idols for sure. Let me see here. I have some – somebody had said they wanted to go back to the idol that can be played after. Here it is, Finn Jordan. Idol that can be played after votes have been read. So they're talking super idol there. I think we've talked a lot about the Korong idol. The Korong idol is the best one. Like, go and do that where you have to find a way to work together with somebody on another tribe and you can have a super idol. And we actually see it not work out as a super idol, but because Scott Pollard thinks it's going to be a super idol, he doesn't play the regular idol. That is such an interesting dynamic there. And instead, all of the idols have just been like, yeah, maybe they're only good for one or two tries, whatever. But it's never anything that's all that flashy or all that exciting. So I feel like they need to get a little bit more creative with it. Again, it's talking about how there's just certain things that felt like they phoned in during the new era. And every idol felt the same. And every challenge felt the same. And every twist felt the same. And it's like, get a little bit more creative and go back to the well that worked for you. And I think there's a lot you can do with idols that would be awesome.
Yes. Because I think 50, the only thing that wasn't, there's a lot of stuff that was off on 50, but the major thing on 50 was there was no intrigue about idols because there was literally no idols played for someone else because it was impossible. We're not saying bring back Billie Eilish Boomerang Idol. We are saying bring back idols. And I think it's dumb that we care about where they're placed, but I think that is something that, like, I promise you, whenever I'm a fly on the wall in the jungles of Fiji, I'm like, oh, it's probably there. And then they'll go, is this it? And you're like, okay, great. And like, I know it's not that easy on the show and everybody is kind of like flipping me off at home, but it is something where I think, like, there need to be hidden in the water one season, or like literally when you were gone, we put an idol in a unflammable box in your fire. Dump water on your fire and go under there and go grab it when nobody's looking. Well, and it was like, how did you you broke our fire. We're voting you out.
And like the Sabaya one in season 45 was interesting, right? Where it was like melted in wax and she had to go put it in the fire or do something and she couldn't get it beforehand. So she brought it to tribal council and did it that way. Like that's fun. That's different. That's unique. And then it felt like in, you know, it was like, oh, we have the Billie Eilish boomerang idol. But like you said, there's no drama around them. They're an idol that automatically mean people have to know. There's no idol drama on your 50th season of Survivor. That's crazy.
Right. And I think one other thing, I'm getting ahead of myself. Are we done with idols? I don't want
to. Yeah, you can move on.
Like, I think, how can you and I figure out how to overhaul the shot in the dark? Should we try to tackle that right now? I don't think shot in the dark was that interesting for 50 at all. And I think shot in the dark has kind of run its course. So in my thought process, this is such an overhaul. So it's like somewhere in between, instead of a shot in the dark, everyone gets a bankable vote. Or you can trade your shot in the dark for a bankable vote at the auction or something. And like, there was something in the last couple seasons where you could bank a vote and keep it for a future one. And that, I think, is the next actual twist that'll happen. Instead of being like something from the past, it'll be, here's the thing. Don't vote tonight. And you can bank your vote for later. But this is a mechanic where either everyone has access to it or certain people have access to it. And people get too cocky, bank a vote, and then get voted out.
Savannah,
and
their bankable
vote,
right?
Doesn't matter.
That was the Savannah thing?
That was the Savannah thing, and I can't remember exactly. She didn't need the vote, so she saved her vote, and then it helped them. Trust Litches over.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I like the whole bankable vote thing. The thing for me is I don't mind shot in the dark. I know some people are really out on shot in the dark. Shot in the dark doesn't bother me. I feel like shot in the dark is a good way of just like, I don't want the random luck and stuff. I don't want the dice. I don't want the hourglass. I don't want lost votes over a game of Tetris Topple, which Blake and I played not too long ago. The game's terrible. Like, it's just so stupid. And I don't want lost votes over things like that.
We have to talk about Tetris Topple real quick if we're going to bring it up. I was playing that. We were not drunk. We had less than one drink. So Tetris Topple, ha ha ha, so fun. Ha ha ha. Not really that fun. It's more of like, it's just such a, when somebody gets to the 13th piece, their other person's probably going to lose.
Yeah.
And it was frustrating because we played it multiple times and it was like piece 14 is always too much. And I'm like, I could not imagine if I was playing for $1 million. I'm so excited. It's actually my third or fourth time, or my second time, because I'm Savannah, playing this game, Survivor, by doing Tetris Topple and then being like, it literally just comes down to like, Did you go first or second?
it's like the 21 game, right? When they did the 21 flags or whatever back in Cook Islands. And if you know the thing, if you go second, you should win every time because you want to make sure it's always in increments of four, I think is what the rule is. So that it's like, if the first person takes one, you take three. If they take two on the next one, you take two. So now there's eight out of the game. If they take three, you take one. Now there's 12 out of the game. If they take two, you take two. And now you're down to the final five. Now, no matter what they take or whatever, there's something like that where it's like, no matter what they take, you end up being able to win. Like if they were to take one on the next one, whatever it is, I don't remember, but you can beat that game before you even start. And so I agree with you on that. But anyway, my whole point is I don't want the random stuff like that. I don't remember what we were talking about, but I don't want random. But shot in the dark, I am okay with being random because shot in the dark is meant to be your last lifeline. And more often than not, it does nothing. Is 1 in 6 compelling enough to make it great TV? No. But I think if shot in the dark becomes too good of TV, then you have too many people saving themselves. And then you end up in situations where you just have too many people getting screwed by shot in the dark, which is something everybody's gifted at the start. And I don't want that. I don't want shot in the dark to be a 1 in 3 shot, because if shot in the dark becomes a 1 in 3 shot, then 2/3 of the time, okay, nothing happens. But 1/3 of every vote, you're going to end up having like somebody go out in a BS way. I don't want that. So I think shot in the dark actually is pretty good where it's at, honestly. And I don't think it's the worst thing, because think it allows, again, for production to try some other things and be more okay with a vote being boring, because you always have shot in the dark to fall back on. If it's going to be a pagonging, they can save themselves with a shot in the dark. Like, you go back to season one, Colleen couldn't save herself with a shot in the dark, so she's done. You can save yourself with a shot in the dark, but production is not willing to let the players just play. Production needs to get their finger in it, and they need to make all the chaos happen for themselves. And then that's why shot in the dark doesn't end up paying off ever. Let it be that it's going to be a straightforward vote and somebody plays their shot in the dark, survives, and then they're able to keep moving forward. I'm okay with shot in the dark. One thing I love about summer is how easy everything feels. The days are a little more relaxed, and I find myself reaching for the same comfortable go-anywhere pieces again and again. That's why I keep coming back to Quince. They focus on well-made essentials that naturally become those everyday staples you actually live in all season long.
Quince's 100% European linen pants and shirts are breathable, easy to throw on, and a summer upgrade your rotation needs, starting at just $34. And Phil, I told you this before, but I don't often wear linen shirts or linen pants. But now that I have them from Quince, I find myself going back to them time and time again, whether it's an upscale outdoor event or if I'm just hanging by the beach or at the pool, I'm reaching for these shirts all throughout the summer. Also, their tees are soft enough to live in all day, and the lightweight cotton sweaters are exactly what you want when summer nights cool down. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middlemen, so you're paying for exceptional quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a trusted favorite for everything from home to travel to everyday essentials.
Make your summer wardrobe easier. Go to quince.com/specialist for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/specialist with an S at the end for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/specialists. Your paycheck date could soon become the most irrelevant number in your life. Earnin is a non-bank finance app, 5 million people and growing. The concept is almost annoyingly simple. You earn money, you access it. Up to $150 per day of what you've already worked for, up to $1,000 between paychecks. Tips are optional, and standard transfers take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees. Expedited transfers start at $3.99 and cap at $5.99. It's not about emergencies. It's just a better way to exist financially day to day. Worth checking out. Look, you all know I wear a lot of hats, and nothing annoys me more than waiting for money that I earned while due dates inch closer and closer. I did the work, so what's taking so long? We live in an era of instant gratification, so why don't we demand instant access to our money? The most essential thing we need to participate in society is the thing we wait for the most. That's absurd. End the absurdity today. Download Earnin on the App Store or Google Play, spelled like earning money without the G. Type in the specialist under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Access limits are based on your earnings and risk factors. Standard cash outs take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees. Expedited transfers available for a fee. Tips are voluntary and don't affect the service. Available in select states. Terms and restrictions apply. Visit earnin.com for full details.
I would like a shot in the light. Baby Bear. I'm just trying to say dumb shit right now.
Baby Bear. Don't do that.
I think, okay. It's something where if we got rid of Shot in the Dark completely, would the survivor thought process revert back 10 years? Or is it kind of like we don't need what Shot in the Dark provides anymore because we can do something new? Because I know everybody in the chat is like, Shot in the Dark. Shot in the Dark is basically like a water bottle right now. Like, we're going to make sure you never go thirsty, but you're not going to be like, you can't get to the end with just the water bottle. You need a bunch of other stuff. And yeah. So it's like, it's your pet water bottle that keeps you safe one round, but it doesn't. But at least we don't have to edit around. You're absolutely screwed. And I think it was interesting that Rachel used it correctly in a different way, and it mattered because she could squirm her way out of something and be fine. But it's one of those things, like, for every twist that we're like, bring this back because it never had a great payoff, it's like, well, Rachel paid that off as much as you can. Caleb paid that off as much as you can. What else do you want from this now?
All right, let's move off to others. So we have Finn Jordan and Will Deloach here with like the same thing. Finn Jordan says, not a twist, but touchy subjects challenge. Will Deloach says, bring back challenges like Final Nine season four that reveal social dynamics.
I can do this one.
Go ahead.
Yes.
I think something that was so interesting to me was in the first 6-7 seasons, there was so much more social challenges of like, yes, we're going to do a survey. Like, everyone hates Courtney. Say it into this microphone, and then we're going to have you guys prove it when you do this. That's season 12. But like, I remember seeing an episode where it was Thailand, and it was like, you can only help one person up, Ted. Are you going to choose Brian or Clay or something? And then Ted helps somebody up, and then Brian doesn't help Ted up later, and Brian wins that challenge. And it was like, how could you not help Ted up later? He helped you. And it was like, well, at that juncture of this, and then he had to explain himself afterwards. And when you have to explain yourself and be like, no, Courtney, I like you as a person. Well, I like you as an alliance member. I just think you're really annoying as a person. Like, we're in it together to win the money, but I just don't really like you. That's a perfect thing to breed some contempt and being like, hey, I'm Courtney. I think I may work with Terry now because all these people actually hate my guts and just told everybody and kind of laughed as I was feeling really bad about it. And those social challenges don't even just have to do all that. That's where people flirt. That's where people kind of show off. That's where people flex their muscles. And that is where some people where it's like, oh, Camilla's really good at puzzles. Let Camilla cook when it comes to puzzles. There's a whole third part of challenges that could be this person dominates social challenges. Thank God we have D on our team for this social challenge because those guys over there want to flirt with her. We deal with D every day, and like she annoys me in a certain way, but it's great to have her during this challenge because those guys over there are going to flirt with her. I know that's very Amazon of the show, but I think that's something where if you had that it's as your opener almost, instead of being like, blue shirt, what's your name? I'm John Ralphio. If it was like, hey, everybody, get in a line. You don't even know your tribes yet. And you may realize that you like somebody on the other side more than you like your tribe. And that may affect your social dynamics of meeting your tribe when you're like, I don't even know if I should meet these three guys on my tribe because I think I like the guys over there more. I'm in a girl power from the start. Try to get with John Ralphio from Blue. And I think that'll do something. Like, there's so much more that I think could be explored of, hey, what's the thing we always do? Do the exact opposite. Instead of like dive face forward into a tree trunk, Bruce, and come back next season, the first challenge could be there's no mud, there's no massive strength challenge, there's no run until you die and go get in sand a whole bunch. This is we are going to, three tribes are going to pick one tribe to win, and it's all based on unanimous decision and what you guys come up with. Go. And I know that sounds very boring because we took 14 seconds to think of that, but I think there's a way that you could do, whether it's a matching game like what we're talking about, touchy subjects is that one of everybody write something down. That could be an 18 person's touchy subjects, a 21 person. A season I worked on, Big Brother Canada 6, their first HOH was like, who do you think is most likely to be really annoying to live with? Who do you think is the most likely to get divorced from a partner? Who do you think is most likely to whatever? And if you did that as your first impression, you, like, instead of write somebody down because you think you want to vote them out. Oh, Sandy, you were the oldest one. We had to vote you out in Token Cheese. If you are writing 18 touchy subject things of people you haven't met at all, and then you do your tribe pick 'em after that, after you get to interact with something, I think that would be the most electric start of like those 30 minutes to start off. Isn't just blue shirt, what's your name? We have a social game. They get to interact. They get all that jitters out from being like, we can't talk to each other near the bathroom. So we'll get replaced by a replacement. What do you call it? Alternate. And now we can pick tribes. And because I know, oh, you said something about you hate horses. Like, I'm a world champion rodeo rider. Like, you're not going to be on my team, but she says that out loud. There's a mini rivalry for the rest of our season. Like, how can we go? It's so refreshing to see Emily Flippin dunk on Bruce in the first 2 minutes and then never try to do something like that again.
No, I get it. I mean, I totally get it. And Daryl Seymour says, after Sam Wandel Sir, that final nine season four challenge ain't coming back. Sam Wandel Sir is such a specific situation, though, because you had two pairs and Natalie who's playing nice with everybody. And they're like, oh, we want to give a reward this time. Well, you're not playing with loved ones. That's not going to happen. It's going to get a lot more vicious. Sam Wandel Sir stinks. And that's further proof that it does. But I do hear what you're saying, like started off with something different. I mean, think about how electric Kageyan was because of the way they started that season. Think about how electric Tokenchins was because of how they started that season. You start these seasons with, hey, we're going to ostracize somebody. Now you have built-in storylines too. Sandy kind of works her way back in, but Sierra fully does. Sierra goes very deep on that season. And then you turn around and you look at Kageyan. What a disaster the Luzon tribe is, or whatever it is. They're not Luzon. They are Luzon. What a disaster that tribe is, because David Sampson touched the shoulder of Gary and it led to this magic. And you get people who are mad and how they're going to go. And Daryl Seymour says, Morgan never forgave LJ. Now it's, hey, we're going to do a fight for supplies. And then the two losers are going to send one person to go win their supplies. I don't want to watch the same thing all the time. Like I say with Survivor, the rules should stay mostly the same so that you can actually tell who the best players are. Because I think at this point, and when we did our winner rankings, I remember somebody said, this is rage bait. Yeah, that bottom 10 is rage bait. My bad. We put Bob Crowley and Natalie White and Chris Underwood and Amber in the bottom 10. We had somebody comment today, I disagree with everything you said, bro. It's like, well, you clearly don't understand Survivor in any way, shape, or form then, because there's no rage bait there. But you should be able to tell who's a better player. But in the newer era, it's hard to tell if Rachel and if Kenzie and if Jam Jam are as good of players as the people we saw in the earlier seasons. We talked about this a lot. How do you rank Aubrey's game up against so many other games when Aubrey's game feels so based in luck? There's so much luck involved. And so you say to yourself, she got the win, but did she play a better game there in Koro?
And let me grab your point right now. The more social games you play as challenges, or the more social you pick as tribals, as you pick new tribes, tribe pick'ems being social, challenges being social, everything you're doing now feels deliberate instead of lucky.
Yes.
You didn't draw the right thing. You didn't get paired in the right pair. You purposely chose this. And now our purposely chose is, Did you volunteer or not volunteer to flip the Mr. Beast coin? Did you volunteer or not volunteer to go on the sanctuary? Did you volunteer or not go do a challenge and lose, and now you have to vote yourself out, Christian? And like, there's so many other permutations of that where instead of it's a one person, and I think they really enjoy one person gets to do this, because then we get to do 15 confessionals with Stephanie and call it a day instead of 15 confessionals with 15 different people. But do you want to work hard or not? Like, let's make Survivor a little harder to produce, because I think it'll do a better product than this is what we've always done, or this is the easiest thing. We have 4 hours to shoot confessionals. Let's do two people get 20 each instead of 20 people get two each.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if we'll ever see it go back to that, but like, the more social the game can be, the more strategic the game can be, the better. The more random the game is, the worse. And that's just a fact. And I'm not saying go back to one of the first couple seasons of the show. Like, I understand that's boring. We don't want that. That's not what Survivor is anymore. That's not what audiences are going to sit through anymore. But Pearl Islands is still one of the best seasons of the show. And that was only the show's seventh season. And that's universally acclaimed. I think Amazon is better. And that's the sixth season of the show. And it's like, those are two great seasons because you have a lot of like dynamic stuff happening. McKenna had brought up the Amazon mixer swap.
Yeah, you're saying that. I will literally say the same thing of the first episode of Seven, Pearl Islands, is a social marooning.
Yeah.
Go socially maroon with your tribe in a village. Yeah. Not race to the chickens and race to the machetes in the back of the boat first.
And you get to see, like, okay, Rupert's willing to do whatever it takes to win. Austin's willing to do whatever it takes. Sandra speaks Spanish, more to her than meets the eye. Like, there's a lot going on there, and it's great. And I agree. Like they haven't figured out how to make that happen in the new era. Moving off, we have obviously the one that always comes up. Kylie Hobart says final two and fire making. No fire making. We're never getting another final two. And at this point, it feels like every season is going to have fire making. No.
I mean, the fact that they were like, maybe we're done with it here. I think one thing when people are trying to fix soccer, they're always like, let's do the PKs first. And then let's do the PKs first. And then that's a 0.5. And if you don't golden goal and beat them by one, you lose because the PKs happened first. And then that gives you a bit like a better chance of what you need to do. So like maybe instead of doing the final four challenge first, do the final four fire making with all four people and then be like that fire making. That's a challenge, but not really, because we're going to play the challenge after the fire making. And you can win the fire making and be safe. And then whoever wins the immunity gets to pick the person that's knocked out. And then it's like so much more cutthroat. And if you have all four people do the fire, then if the fire person also wins the challenge, they're like, I'm the fucking king. And I got to do whatever the hell I wanted myself.
I like that idea of doing everybody does fire. I think that would be a lot of fun. I think that's like that makes up for your bear shit that you did earlier. Like that one's actually a good idea. I literally
thought about that for 7 minutes. I mean, 7 seconds. That is something where it's like, I think when you get in a creative brainstorm room like this with people that actually love the show and have watched it for 25 years, I think you can find things like this where it's like, oh, I'm not saying that was the best idea ever, but that's a good base idea of like, how can we build from here? And then if you had been, you didn't do this, so I'm not trying to be like Phil, but like there is the thought process of, will that confuse our audience? It's like, I promise you,
no.
Like if we all sat down, hey, we just voted out the final five person. Hey guys, come on back. The final five person that just got voted out. Hey, Jermaine, go sit down at a jury seat real quick. We're going to do final four fire making right now with all four of y'all. Surprise twist. Guess who loves surprise twist? Survivor. You've been talking for an hour and a half doing your tribal council thing. You didn't get to practice. This is something where it benefits the people who I have made fire 15 times on this island. And yes, what do I hate the most about Fire Island? Talking about it and showing practice. And that eliminates this too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is a really, really solid idea. And I think that's a way to spice it up and make it more fun. And then maybe that's even a way that you can implement a final two. Maybe it's like, you know, if you lose fire there, the only way to save yourself and stay in the game is to win the next immunity challenge. Yeah. And if you lose the immunity challenge, you're out and the top three compete. If you win the immunity challenge, you're still in. All three other people are eligible to be voted out. But the fire making winner is the one deciding which of those two people go home or something. Like, I don't know. There's something there. And then that could be, you might get a final two, you might get a final three. That leaves it up in the air, because the other thing that you could do with that is, let's say the fire making challenge loser, fourth placer, doesn't win the immunity challenge. Now they're out. The person who won fire making still gets to eliminate somebody from the game. Now there you get into the situation of, well, then there's only one person who's eligible, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just like, if you're spitballing, that's the type of spitball that I feel like could lead into something for sure and make it so that there could be a final two, or there could be a final three, or there could be something exciting. B Swebs says tribe mutiny. Everyone has a vote. Exile Island. What do you think about tribe mutiny? You think we'll ever see that come back, and why? And I think that could be fun, especially in the new era after a swap or two. I think that could be fun for sure.
I mean, I almost feel like that's what the shot in the dark could be of like, hey, we just went from 6 to 5. If you want to use your shot in the dark and mutiny at the start of the next round after you just lost, like, were you on a vote where it was 6-4-2? Are you the one person that's left over? You're allowed to use your shot in the dark to mutiny to another tribe and try again. And it would be like, cool, now I can be on off the disaster tribe, like, Caleb, if Caleb says goodbye to the disaster tribe, they're even worse. And I know that could be some all kinds of problems, but we'll figure out how to balance it later. But like, I think a mutiny where it's like, after every second round, or there's a blood moon and you can mutiny after the blood moon. Just kidding, we're never saying blood moon again because everyone just turned. But I think a mutiny where if we said out loud, this is our pirate Fiji season, our we're going back to basics. Like, there's going to be an outcast and there's going to be a mutiny because those are our two pirate seasons. Get ready. They're going to happen at some time this season. And then it's like, I'm aware of a mutiny. I can play for a mutiny. I can practice for a mutiny. And then it's almost like, hey, producers, like, use the mutiny now because things are going crazy. And I feel like it's almost cooler if there's three tribes at that point. Like, I think that's where Survivor needs to figure something out is like, let's do some two tribe shit again. But what works better for two tribe and what works better for three tribe? And if we can't do a season in 2026 without doing both, have the good twist for three tribes happen when it's three tribes and have the good twist for two tribes when it's two tribes.
I like this from Patrick Day Stahl. All 20 do fire making, and that's your ranking that stays with you. The 10 fastest are on one tribe and the 10 slowest are on another. And then we get diabetic survivor saying, if production brings back the car reward, they should make the car's key fob the merge idol. You'll keep the car if you exit the game with the fob, but you can play it as an idol, but you lose the car. That's a fuck.
That's amazing. That's the best profile picture I've ever seen too.
Yeah, but that would be fun as well. Another one that wait, where did it go? Oh, here's another one. The bottle twist, but post-merge and with a night challenge at tribal in between votes.
We just said a bunch of shit, but I don't know what we're asking. Like, do I want bottle twist back? No. Like, I think some of these are, we lived through them and it was like, what's the most exciting thing that happened about the bottle twist? Well, it helped us get through one episode of Cook Islands quicker.
But do you think it would be fun if they did like a nighttime immunity challenge where it was like, hey, you're going.
That is like if something I could bring back, like the China challenge where they shot fireworks into the sky. Mm-hmm. I do like having challenges at tribal because I think that's an interesting dynamic of like, hey, some of you guys are better. Like, I'm almost certain that Rizzo would have won a challenge, an individual immunity challenge, if there were some at tribal. Like, that's where that guy's good. That's where he doesn't want to look bad in front of a jury. Like, do you think Rizzo, he's not throwing challenges, but we're not going to do a bunch of hardcore. Well, I guess he lost two fire making challenges. So I'm already, that isn't exactly Rizzo. But like, if there was a trivia challenge or a fallen comrades thing, like, I'm sure fallen comrades can be brought back for this audience and done where we won't get in trouble. Like, the fact that they're like, we could never do fallen comrades again because we screwed it up once 23 years ago. It's like, how did you screw it up? Talk with standards of practice to make sure you never screw it up again. And then show us the new version of fallen comrades. And if you say, oh, fallen comrades isn't as interesting as it was 23 years ago, have your audience decide and have your players decide. Like, that's another social challenge that I think made everybody love Vesepia. She shouldn't win. Oh, but she used her luxury item for strategy for the first time in the history of the show and won a pivotal Final Four immunity and then got to the end because of that. Like, that was a crazy moment when that happened. Like, I'm not saying bring back luxury items, but I'm saying this is what happens when you do social challenges, because I think also at home, social challenges kind of give your audience a way to play along. Like, yes, I can put stuff between my feet and move it from left to right to see if I'd be good from something or ratchet up something, but I don't know how much body weight. Like, I would be out in 15 seconds. But in social challenges, you could have a Blake and a Phil talk about for hours. Well, here's what I would have done. Yes, I would have been hungry, but I know that I want to target Savannah first. We can gang up on her. Let's gang up on Savannah and get her out of the social challenge. And then Savannah knows that and knows to go after the worst people on my side and be like, do you really want Blake to win this challenge? Are you going to literally settle for that? Or let's get out Blake first and then we'll all be on an equal playing field. Blake goes home first in this social challenge. And then, like, I think strategy that we're obsessed with when it comes to voting could also be on display in social challenges. We're back to social challenge. Social challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear that. I'm going to go to another comment here, Marcus Ritt. I think they should do a delayed idol where you played at tribal council that night after the votes have been cast, but it doesn't count till the next tribal council you attend. So people don't know you played it.
That would be cool if they were like, there's both kind of idols in this one. And Jeff says this out loud. I think they didn't really do this very much. And I think because there's some negative stuff. Anytime there's negative stuff on Twitch, they just never do it again. But like at the beginning of Game Changers, they go, if there's a tie, we just go, you get eliminated immediately. Right?
No, if there's a tie, you immediately go to rocks. Everybody else.
That's what Jeff I'm trying to say.
Trying to get
you immediately
more
go to rocks. And so they're like, okay, we're never going to ties. But I think you could say, hey guys, instead of you guys finding the idols, you may think, is there Billie Eilish idols? Is there what? Well, let me tell you, we can't wait one day to tell you about these idols. There's a delay idol, there's a fast track idol, and then there's a blank idol. Third word. And one is like, it fast track idols, they you can't go home with them in your pocket. Oh, amazing. But you also can't vote. Oh, that sucks. And then it's like, you play this one, and then there's normal idols too. What I'm trying to say is, if you played a delay idol and you got up and like, I'm gonna play this, and you played it as a normal idol, it kind of gets you the 1-2 punch of this is actually a delay idol. And I feel like that would be like a cool moment. I think that's something where it's like when you're in your 51st season, your 52nd season, what are you looking for anymore? Are you just looking for the $1 million in your bank account as a producer? Or are you like, we want water cooler moments? And I do think we're not going to have any social water cooler moments anymore because literally every single person has been on the show. Every single argument has been on the show. Unless somebody gets butt naked on the show, like that doesn't even do this anymore because nobody cared after season 30 of that one. It's like, well, how can we get water cooler moments now? And it's going to be like fantastic social play, fantastic strategy play, fantastic idol moments. Like that's what I think you would trend to as a Survivor producer.
Yeah. And then it was like the Mr. Beast coin flip. That right. was the water cool moment in Survivor 50. Hopefully, and we don't start going that
okay.
way.
Okay. Yeah. Will we ever see a coin flip in the history of the show again?
Yes.
Is it happening on 51 and 52?
No. But we will see it again.
Will 52 have cards from 52 card decks?
Wow.
And you have to, if you're the king of spades, you can't go home. And unless they play the ace of spades and then. That would be cool, but there's not 52 actual people. So I was like, that anytime I hear the word Survivor 52, I immediately think of card decks because of that. That's been on a movie from like Asia too. Of what's that movie? Have you watched that one? It's like, somebody's got to save me because I didn't watch it, but it's like a deathmatch game, but it's a movie and it's like, based on what card is on, it's like Saw almost, and it'll be like, you had the six of hearts, you're dead. And it was like, oh crap, if they ever did that on Survivor, I think that is way too hard because
that's what all gonna... random luck. That's what we're fighting.
No. It would be like you have a couple cards for you, and like based on your tribe, you could come up with a poker hand, or like if you guys had all three kings, you could do this or something. Like it's like a crappier version of Super Idols or something, maybe.
Sounds like it.
So don't forget we said that. Edit that part out.
I know we said we were going to go like around an hour on this. Do you have any other ones that are like glaring that you really want to talk about? I mean, we could go through all the different ways that we want them to do tribe swaps and things like that, but I don't feel like that's necessary.
I think we got most of everything that I would ever want. I think the other thing would be, what twist should be in the open era? I think the actual thought process, this is the same stuff again, like the birdcage, or say this weird phrase, like what's the next permutation of that could maybe be fun? Mm-hmm. Like keep going that way. And that like, there's some kind of thought process, like 45, whenever it was like, there's a box inside of a box inside of a box, or that was 46, that was 47. There was a box inside of a box inside of a box in 47. Like that was the wrong way to go with that, in my opinion. Like go what's three steps before that? I think one other thing that I am is like, do we get casting twists ever again? Is that something like we're treading on it? This is a famous podcaster. It's not a casting twist. This is somebody that would want to be on Survivor. But do we ever have a casting twist of like, is there going to be that one of the people on 51 is a famous influencer that you could probably know before you got out there? Like, at what point is it like Mr. Beast is actually a contestant or Zach Brown is actually a contestant? Like, are we going to do, instead of fans versus favorites three, fans versus favorites three is fans versus celebrities or celebrities versus all stars? And like, is that going to be a thing that not gets put down our throat? I think that could be not interesting, but like, I think that would be a middle ground of like, okay, you want to have even more control if you're a celebrity. Would you do 7-on-7 against Parvati, Boston Rob, Tony, Sari, and then do here's 7 celebrities, and then it's 14 days, person goes home every day?
I don't want that at all, but I do feel like fans versus favorites needs to happen again in the next 10 seasons. I think blood versus water, even if it's not returning players, needs to happen again in the next 10 seasons. And honestly, I think a game changer style all-star season needs to happen in the next 10 seasons. And what I mean by that is there is no theme. It just happens. Just all-stars. Just random people we have watched play the season once. Because I will say, Survivor Game Changers is when Survivor jumps the shark. And I'm realizing that watching it now. The Malcolm Boot is when Survivor jumps the shark, because Survivor made it more about production interference than about actual gameplay. You can't play for that stuff. And so that was the moment they jumped the shark. That's when the season falls apart. It actually starts off pretty hot and the cast is actually delivering, but production just gets so involved and ruins the entire season. That's that. So I feel like doing a random group, it doesn't have to be second timers or third timers or finalists or winners or whatever. It could be anybody. Haley Ford's back at the third time, finalist.
So I have a real question now. I think brainstorming, we never write something down. We never script it out. I think that's sometimes where you're like, what the hell are you talking about? But it leads to stuff like this. We need to figure out right now what they're going to do for new era all-stars. And I feel like we could do it right now. Go ahead and listen to the last 5 minutes of this. Maybe it'll be clipped for them and sent. Like, send this last 5 minutes. We're going to figure it out. Because tomorrow at 9 in the morning Pacific time, because that's what matters, that's where I am, they're going to announce the Big Brother cast. And I think that is going to be a major signpost for everyone in this chat that cares about talking about this on a Monday night after the soccer player blow up, all right? Tomorrow at 9 a.m., are they going to have, there's Survivor players, there's Big Brother players, there's Amazing Race people, there's Drag Race people. I honestly don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's just going to be random people with maybe one person like Sari, because this is a perfect time if you're a Z-list celebrity to go dark for 2 weeks. So everyone talks about you and goes, I think Blake's on, but Blake hasn't been podcasting and Blake hasn't posted about his lunch. And Blake didn't say anything about the 4th of July. He's probably in sequester for Big Brother. And it's like, no, he knows that he can get you guys to follow his page if he doesn't say anything for 6 days right before Big Brother cast. And you guys fell into the trap. But I think if you look tomorrow at Big Brother 9 a.m. and they have 3 or 4 Survivor players, I think whenever Survivor has a new era All-Stars, I think it could be, we don't feel comfortable with having it be 18 new era people. We're going to do something different. It's going to be something shiesty. We are going to, Big Brother, we're going to put 10 Big Brother contestants on here. I kind of don't want that. I think people on Big Brother for a reason, people on Survivor for a reason. You can't mix them. But it's the same production company. It's the same network. It's the same... not production company, it's the same casting company. So it is kind of like this is maybe what could happen of like, if I'm a Big Brother player that's beloved and I go, oh, I'd love to play Survivor, you don't think Rachel Riley would suit up to go be on an island? And it's like, is that inevitable that's going to happen? Well, I never thought Rachel Riley would play Survivor, Big Brother a third time. So it is like, will she inevitably get on Survivor? I think as soon as the Survivor producers are like, I'm either going to retire or I'm going to jump the shark a second time. Like, should I retire first or should I greenlight the Big Brother versus Survivor crossover season? And I'm wondering if we could get like, who are the new era All-Stars that weren't on 50? Because we took 12 of them out. And those 12 people maybe didn't have the most amazing time on the show or nailed their thought process. So it's like, what do you think they could do, new era All-Stars, and where do you think they'd cut off of do not cast someone from before blank season?
See, I don't. So here's my thing. I don't want them to do that. That's like my point is the next All-Star season I see is I don't want it to have any restrictions. Somebody had said, Chudaman says that's what 50 was. It was All-Stars, no real casting theme. But there was 12 new era and there was 12 pre-new era. So there was definitely a concerted effort to do that. And for me, like new era casting isn't good enough for a full All-Star season. That's flat out the truth. It's not. I don't need to watch 18 new era players come back and play again, because also we're going to get some who just played on 50 that we just watched. You just used 12 of your players. So you used 12 of your players, 12 of your star players from this era. You left out some very obvious ones, but those very obvious ones, I don't know what that's going to mean when they come back and play. I want anybody to be eligible to play again. If James Clement can play again, James Clement is going down to Celebration Florida to do Give Kids the World or whatever the equivalent of it is this year. If James Clement wants to show back up on my Survivor screen, yes, I want James Clement on my screen again. If Jonathan Penner wants to be on my screen, I want Jonathan Penner. If they actually get their heads out of their butts and put Sean Rector on for a second time, I want that. I also want Jesse to play again because he should have played on season 50, and Carolyn should be there too. But also, if Rupert Bonham suddenly shows up and says, I'm good to go, I'm fine with that. So that's my point. I don't think if they do a new era All-Stars after 50, when they're trying to go into the open era, it's a disaster. I think that they need to pull from everywhere and anyone and legitimately take the 20 people or 21 people or 24 people, whatever it is, that they think are best. Not 12 new era and 12 old school. And what needs to happen is there also needs to be some pride put to the side where the casting department says, I'm not just picking my favorites. I'm actually picking people that Survivor fans want to see again. Because the whole like just picking your favorites thing gets really, really old really, really fast. And so that's my thing. Whatever the new All-Star season is, the next All-Star season we're going to see, which is either 53 or 54, because we know it's not 51 and we know it's not 52. That means all signs are pointing to 54 because they normally try to make it the spring season. Whatever season is that also, whatever they do, any player who has ever played Survivor and did not do something so heinous that they should not ever be on our screens again deserves to be in the mix. I'm sorry. Like, I don't want it to be themed. Theming limits yourself, and it's never as good as you think it's going to be. Second chance, we just talked about it over on the Patreon. It is a little disappointing of a season because of how it starts to play out as it goes on, right? It's hard to live up to that hype. Heroes versus villains worked, but you actually had 10 heroes and 10 villains, and you put together an amazing cast, and you didn't say we can't have winners. No, you had winners, and you had people from as far back as season 2. I want whoever the hell wants to play and whatever's going to give me the best TV. That's got to be the next All-Star season. Because you can't tell me right now, after watching last season, we're going to see Q again. We'll probably see Genevieve again. But in reality, the people are talking about, and people are talking about Jonathan, whether for the right reasons or the wrong reasons, people are talking about Jonathan. But at the end of the day, it is the Suri, Ozzy,
Jonathan's going to beat my ass the next time he sees me.
Devin's.
When they were like, Big Brother is going to put Jonathan on this season. I'm like, how do you think that?
But you get my point. It's like Christian, Devin's, Suri, and Ozzy owned the screen throughout the entire season. Rizzo's there too. Rizzo's going to play again. But like, it's the older school player. So you're saying, well, Suri says she's retired. Okay, Ozzy didn't say that. If you call Ozzy, he's probably going to go do it again. Like, you can't. I don't think you should limit anything. Because guess what? Christian and Devins are still stars. So now you're going to say, well, we're going to do a new era All-Stars that allows Q and Camilla and Genevieve to play again. But Christian and Devins, they're not eligible. It's no shot. Oh, we'll do a second chances so that we can get Carolyn and Jesse and whatever. No shot. You're eliminating too many people. I think realistically we're hitting a game changer style of all-star season at 54. And I think it's the best thing for the show. I really do. I think limiting themselves would be the stupidest thing they could do.
Did we answer all the questions today?
I answered them all. You got to answer the question for whatever the bear is, but you can save that for the Discord. So I think we're good. We're going to be back again on Wednesday night.
Jeff Probst has to do a family reunion season where he plays with all of his brothers and sisters and their families.
Guys, we will be back on Wednesday night. Power Art Winner Rankings Part 2, 40 to 31. That'll be there on Wednesday. Become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. We're in Millennials vs. Gen X right now. We'll be getting into Game Changers starting next Thursday. So exciting times. Thank you all so much for listening. Like this video and subscribe to the channel. And we'll see you on Wednesday.
Let's just have season 4.